Welcome to our series, part four, The Perverted Gospel. As Paul says in Romans, in Galatians chapter 1, it's the perverted gospel of Christ that the men are preaching today, the King James guys, that if they don't preach Paul only, I say that they are preaching a perverted gospel. So I'm the Paul only guy. Now Paul only means just Paul only. You don't read the rest of the Bible. But we don't go there. You know that. We know that. I know that. And what we have here, we have online, on part three there, from here on out, we have this chart that we will show people the proof is in the pudding, is actually in the eating of the pudding. You'll see this stuff in the Bible that it is different. You cannot blend the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you cannot blend them in with Paul's books and then go back to Hebrews and Jude and use that as a tool to get people to stop sinning. That seems to be what they want everybody to do, is to stop sinning. You go down to the street corner, they tell them to stop sinning. They tell them to get saved. They tell them to quit being so queerish. They tell them to quit dressing like that. And that has nothing to do with their salvation. That has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be teaching this world. And it's just a religion. It's a good religion. Judeo-Christianity is a good religion. It's got good morals. It's got good commandments. It's the good stuff, no doubt. But to get a grasp of Paul sets you above the crowd. And I believe that we're going to look at some things tonight, that the Gospels, the way they're preached, if they're preached to you, it's a perverted gospel, because compared to Paul, it's not right. It's true what went on in the Gospels. Those are true stories, true facts, true truth. That's the truth. But if you teach that compared to Paul's gospel, then Paul says it's the perverted gospel of Christ. It's wrong to do that. So our chart tonight, we're going to get on that chart, and if you don't have a copy of it for your own studies, and I did this, I think about this, I did something similar to this maybe three years ago or so at whatever. So let's get this thing started. I forgot to turn the cam on. Let's get this thing started here, and I'll kind of reiterate some of that. Are we ready to go here? Give me one more typology there. There's one more typing that says the sound is okay. And I'll click this thing and get it going. And I'll kind of repeat some of that maybe. I'm not good at repeating stuff. I never can remember it. So here we are. Part four of the perverted gospel of Christ versus Paul's gospel. And once again, let me reiterate what I'm trying to show here. I'm trying to show that the pudding, when we compare the gospel as taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the teachings of Jesus' teachings to the Jews, is different in some ways with what Paul teaches to the Gentiles, and at one time to the Jews as well. I mean, Paul presented this stuff to the Jews, there's no doubt. But the Jews didn't want them, so Paul goes on to the Gentiles only. And we're not looking at how many numbers on the chart, how many times this particular subject pops up. It's taught differently through Paul. And I say the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the eating of the pudding. Because you will see that they're different. They're just different. Is it a different gospel? In some ways it is, because it's the teachings of the risen Savior. But amongst those teachings of the risen Savior, do we also have the teachings of Jesus to the Jews? We learn those things. We learn Psalms. We learn Proverbs. We learn the Old Testament. We learn Hebrews to Jude and Revelation. We learn all that stuff. And it's for learning there, and there's no doubt about it. But what's to us is what Paul has written to us. And if there's anything in the Gospels that Jesus wanted Paul to teach, repeat it from the Gospels, Paul will repeat it. Paul will teach that stuff. But the things that are not taught in the Gospels, the things that are taught in the Gospels that the risen Savior does not want us to learn, not to us, Paul will not preach it. So we need to go to Paul to get what we're supposed to be taught, And that will be Romans 2:16. That will be our judgment for our works will be judged based on Paul's teachings by Jesus Christ. So anyway, that's kind of it in a nutshell. And what we have here, we have in Romans chapter 10, look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. I think one of the hardest things for people to get a grip on here is Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that he's talking to the Jews, of course, here. He says, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God. That's a strong verse. So we have people out there with this good religion, Judeo-Christian religion. It's a good one. Good morals, love, help each other, you know, blah, blah, blah. No stealing. No, that's the only place you're going to get that stuff from. The good morals of today. We have no morals today in our schools and our homes and in our country. But Paul's teachings, Paul's dispensation of grace is very different from what Jesus taught to the Jews in the Gospels. This is stuff that's been taught to us as Gentiles from the risen Savior to Paul, through Paul. And we have a King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. And so this is finished. We got everything we need to know right here. And so let's pick up our Bibles tonight and let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark. We're going to look at those words that are on your charts there, and we're going to show the differences and how you can't blend them both. So we're going to start with the first. There's not going to be an order on the chart on the papers up there, but we're going to do the first one. This one is maybe about halfway down, and it's called commission. Commission. Well, we know Great Commission versus Greater Commission. That's the term that I came up with, I guess. Greater Commission. There's a Great Commission, and it was. And it's talked about in Mark and Matthew. And it takes place in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Peter's the guy that heads that thing up. Okay? So, we have a Greater Commission. Paul has something beyond what was taught in the Gospels. I just thought, well, we'll just call that the Greater Commission. It's kind of a play on words to kind of knock the Great Commission. But let's look at some verses here today. And the commission is what these guys were told to go out and do. Now, the Great Commission was told to the apostles. What I've come to term, Greater Commission, was told to Paul. Okay? So let's look. Now, you know where to go. Mark 16. Make these quick because you know where these are all at. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized. Now we got to go to 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And then when they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now what we have today is we have Christians that are in doubt about their prayers not being answered. There are doubts about what's happening to America. They're in doubt because of what happened to their job. They're in doubt because of what's happening to their health. And they've been going to church all the time. They've been reading their Bible all the time. Some of these guys are King James people all the time. And yet, we still find ourselves looking for signs. Any visual signs of any earthquakes or whatever like that is getting people ready for the second coming, not for the rapture. So we know that those aren't the signs. Those aren't signs yet. I mean, some clues in there that things are starting to happen, but not as a sign. And the same thing with Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay, now who did he command those to? He commanded those to the Jews. So these people had to observe what Jesus taught to them. And we know that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, talks about the fact that there's no New Testament until there's a new testator. He has to die first before we can go on. So what we're doing here is we're going to go into this Bible. We're going to show you that when we go on and we go on the Great Commission, that there's an even greater commission today. Let's look at John chapter 20. Let's look at some more verses that deal with this Great Commission, as everybody in church calls it. Especially Jack Kyles. He was huge on that thing. John chapter 20. Verse 31. John 20, verse 31. But these are written. Look at verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, that's telling me a salvation that is not what Paul preaches. These are written, what? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what they had to believe. So, we'll show you in a minute. Let's go to John chapter 6. This was a commission that was given to Jesus. And then we see with Paul that it was commissioned to Paul as well. So Paul's works are a continuing of the commission which God gave Jesus Christ. This is in John chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And we're talking about the people. He says that in John 17, etc., etc. And then verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, if we go to Colossians chapter 1, you may want to keep your finger in John 6, but let's go to Colossians chapter 1. You're going to see in verse 12 that commission that was given to Jesus Christ was passed on to Paul. Now, verse 12, giving thanks. No, look at verse 9. For this cause we also, then he prays. These are the things that he prays for. Now go down to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And remember in John, that was where he said, "Nothing, I should lose nothing which he has given me, but raise it up again at the last day." So there's that verse in Colossians that says the same thing, but now it says it a little differently. It's not a conflict at all. Let's look at John chapter 6. We're already there. Look at John chapter, I guess not the one yet. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. I'm showing you the Great Commission, which was a great commission. Go into all the world and get them baptized and get them saved so they can get somebody baptized and saved. So somebody gets baptized and saved. And we know that William Carey, the father of modern missions, is the one that started this Great Commission stuff in our local churches, because it comes with signs and wonders and miracles. And who better to have signs and miracles than our missionaries out in the jungles praying with no food, and somebody shows up with food. And I'm just going to tell you that I believe that that's the devil maintaining a false gospel to make everybody think it's right. We know that the Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 16 and 2 Thessalonians, but the devil is going to be using signs and wonders. So why wouldn't he be already starting to get people programmed for it? So So we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 16 for stuff in the Great Commission. Look at Galatians 1, 16. There we go. We look at 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Now what is that? That's Paul, isn't it? That's Paul's commission now, isn't it? We just got done looking at the Great Commission. It's going to come with signs. It's going to come with miracles, wonders, healings, the whole bit. And suddenly we see something different when it comes to Paul. There's one of them right there. That's Paul's commission. Is God's going to reveal His Son in Paul. But I might preach Him among the heathen, which are the Gentiles at that time, and immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. So there's what I call the greater commission. But let's go to Acts 13. I'll show you an even better one. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. And you can call it what you want. Just like Matthew and Mark said, go ye to all the world. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation even unto the ends of the earth. That's His commission. It's still, it says there, to the ends of the earth. It's still a worldwide commission. I call it the greater commission because it's greater than the Great Commission. Far greater than the Great Commission. From what we can read, they would not have had the stuff that Jesus taught to Paul to teach to us. The Jews wouldn't have had that. The Jews wouldn't have got it. We would never have gotten it. We've never received it. Romans chapter, my mind just went tired here, blank. Okay, so Acts 13:47. And when the Gentiles heard this in verse 48, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. No. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Sorry. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's see what Paul's commission was. What was he told to go out and do? What are we told to go out and do? Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. I did that one already. Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul's commission, this great commission, the greater commission, is to verse 16, I will show him how great things he must suffer. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. He's bringing the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ. So, there's a commission. Look at chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse... Where's that? Verse chapter 26? Acts 26, there it is. Verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the, which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. Here's Paul's commission. Our eyes should be open and to turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which that is in me. Paul's commission is way beyond the apostles' great commission. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. So it looks like some people could see this thing as That's a greater commission. Six, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what his commission is. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, and I should preach among them, the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's his commission. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There's his commission. So, Paul has a greater commission. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Go down to 9. Let's go down here to 10. Let's see here. Verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And it didn't take long for people to take what Paul says here and twist it into Pentecostal stuff, did it? You know, it's funny that you would write that Romans. I was just thinking, I know where that's at. That has, before even looking up, that's totally what we have to look to here. Now, to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's Paul's teachings right there. That's Romans 16, verse 25. Good one to put in there. Romans 2:16 will be judged by Paul's gospel. Okay, so there's one of our things, one of our comparisons. The Great Commission, there it is, need to have signs after it, and Paul's Greater Commission. There's differences in there. There really are. We're going to be able to get all this in the two-page chart here? We'll see. Okay. Let's do another one. Here we go. Does anybody... I forgot this was going to be you jumping into. Do you have any more verses, you guys, or grammar or whatever, that shows, you know, the Great Commission versus the Greater Commission? There's a change that takes place. The apostles are involved in the first Great Commission, and Paul is involved with his commission. How about if we go to Acts chapter... Oh, come on, go by memory here. No, let's not do that. I can't even think of it. Okay, let's go to another one. If there's no questions or comments, are y'all still out there? Let's go to another one here. And this is the born-again one. Colossians 1:27. Let's check it out here before we go any further here. Colossians 1:27. Thank you, Mark. Colossians 1:27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perfect. Excellent verse. Write that one down. Part of his commission is to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Okay. Let's go now to another one. Let's go to John chapter 3. It's an easy one here. This is what everybody says we need to be. And we need to be born again. All the churches teach that. I mean, just everybody's. Which, by the way, was one of the biggest reasons I started to question it, because everybody, even the Catholics, use it. Being born again means you are a member of their church. So, let's look at this thing tonight. So, we got in the Old Testament, John chapter 3, verse 3 up there. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked and said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what are we talking about here? Six, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Here we have in verse 9. Or 8. He that committeth sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. for this purpose, here we go, the Son of God was manifest, they might destroy the works of the devil. So there's quite a commission, right? But there's your terminology for, I got lost, what am I talking about here? Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. There we go. Whoever is not born of God. So, these are the only two places you find talked about being born of God or born again. So, everybody uses those terms. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Okay, yep, Acts 8, 37, the verse that is missing, Ephesians 1, 13. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So, this modern gospel today uses born again. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a healer or a smiling guy that says God wants you to be happy and rich all your life, or if you're a Baptist preacher, or if you're, everybody just uses being born again. But you can't go to that phrase, because if you go to 1 John chapter 3, which he says there, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, then if you do something wrong, you're no longer born of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He that committed sin is of the devil. So, how can this be? How can this be? Paul's the one that we got to go to here. Now, let's look at John chapter 5, verse 21 for a minute. Let me show you something. John chapter 5, verse 21. Paul has a different message here. It's just like this Bible is that which is perfect. It's like the way of God more perfectly. Let's find out what it is about being born again, but there's more to it now with Paul. First of all, the being born again was being referenced to Israel, ye. These in reference to Nicodemus. You've heard that about the ye's and the these and the thous. So, and that makes good sense. Now, how important it is to have the these and the thous in there. But John chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Okay? Now, because my point is, Paul talks about we're quickened. And that's to be made alive. Well, why is that any different than being born again? Well, one reason is they're different words. Two, Paul has more detail what it takes to be quickened. How does that happen? And three, you look in the Gospels, you look up the word quicken and being made alive, they're talking about physical, fleshly being made alive. For as the Father raises up the dead, which will happen, and quickeneth them, he makes them alive. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Look at verse 63 of chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So there's something that takes place in this quickening process. There's a couple other references here. He says here in Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. So there's references of God will quicken the dead. Not a problem. Of course he will. But the spirit of him in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. So yes, there's God quickens people, he makes people alive that are dead. But we get into the Paul aspect of this thing. Look at it. Born again, you're just born again. And you can still be the worthless person you were in the first place. In detail, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened. That's me. I'm not dead. I'm not in the ground buried. So he took me, a dead in trespasses and sins living person here, and he quickened. He made me alive. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, see, we're still alive. We're still walking around dead in sins, lost. Hath quickened us together with Christ. That's more than just being born again. That's being made alive. He changed us. All he was talking about in John was, and in 1 John, first of all, in John, this Israel who was born a nation back in Genesis 12 needed to be born again. They needed to be fixed. Then you get into 1 John chapter 3, which is written by the same John, and says, listen, you guys got to quit sinning. And in the tribulation, they will have to quit sinning. Because if they're sinning, they're going to lose their salvation. They're not born of God. So what do we have today of the born of God people? Most of them believe you can lose your salvation. Ah, but alas, we've got the King James guys who know better. We've got the King James rightly dividing people that know better. We've got the King James, almost King James. Everybody knows better. But somehow they just can't separate what Jesus taught to the Jews and what Jesus told, the risen Jesus told Paul to teach to the Gentiles. Why can't we zero in on what Paul teaches for our day-to-day act? Our manner of life. Our teachings. We cannot merge these things together because if you do, you're perverting the gospel of Christ. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And we're talking here about people that are, you know, walking around the earth, talking. So, there is more to it with what Paul teaches as compared to what Jesus taught to the Jews. And again, this fulfills my point of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cannot be taught blended with Paul's teachings. You are either Paul only, you're either one apostle only, or you're going to teach the apostles' doctrine, which in Acts chapter 2 was done. Great Commission. So, the two things so far tonight, looking at the time here, was verses that show the Great Commission, and it was the Great Commission at the time, but Paul's commission is a greater commission. And those are the verses I gave you to show people, listen, this is what Paul was told to do. This is his commission. This is our commission today. Paul's commission. And then we looked at born again, versus Paul saying we've been quickened, we've been made alive. What talks about in the book of John in the Gospels, being quickened is they were dead. I mean their body was they were dead. No more walking around. No more foosball. No more whatever that means. Who cares about that thing? No more whatever they're doing today. They're dead. For them to be quickened, brought back alive again, that wasn't going to happen. But now for us. We are quickened. We're made alive. Yet we're still walking around here. Are we doing the things that we should be doing because we've been quickened? We've been made alive. We are now His workmanship, He says. We are saved to do the good works now. That's our purpose. That's our commission. Okay. Now, do I want to tackle the next one here or should we just let her be? If I got any couple smaller ones here. I just want to tackle this thing enough. I'm pretty sleepy here tonight. Just kind of dozing off with my brain here. One of the things that is a big deal for the... here we go. Let's do this. Let me assign you folks something here tonight. And we'll talk about it on Sunday. One of the things that the Great Commission crowd is so famous for today is they're trying to get everybody to come to their church, Acts chapter 2, trying to be all things, all the people there. And it says here, Acts 2, where it says... having favor with all the people. What do they say? They say, come to my church and let's worship together. Well, and this person gave me the facts that worship, 22 verses in the Gospels, and only mentions it 3 times in Paul. So Paul loses. What do you mean Paul loses? It's not a matter of how many times they're talked about, it's what's being taught. And worship in the Old Testament, we'll look up that. You can do that. You look up Old Testament worship, and you look up Old Testament worship in the Gospels, because that's still what it was. And you see what's going to go on in the tribulation. What we see today is people worshiping God in an old-fashioned way, and Paul, and it doesn't work, and Paul settles that thing real quickly. In Acts chapter 2. So, we're going to look at this worship thing because these are the things we can do as we worship. And where's God at? We'll get all that. We'll get all that on Sunday. I'm just kind of dozing my brain here, We looked at the Great Commission, the Greater Commission. We looked at born again and being quickened. Proof in the pudding again, especially if you eat it and read this stuff, that you will see we cannot blend the teachings. You cannot, I mean, you can teach out of the Old Testament. You can teach the Gospels. Of course you can. Of course you can. And you can teach Hebrews to Jude. Of course you can. And we need to. But we don't teach those books to us. That stuff is there for us to learn from, but not to try to apply or try to get somebody to stop sinning or try to get somebody to feel guilty because they're such a rotten sinner, you know, that kind of a thing. So we'll just put more proof in the pudding and people can listen to this thing and they can look up the verses and they'll see that maybe the gospel books have more verses than Paul, but Paul's teachings of the worship, for example, is very different. You don't go to somebody else's church to worship God. You don't go to anybody's church to worship God. You can worship God anywhere you want, but you don't go there to worship. And we'll look at that. So I hate to cut off early, but I'm just kind of wooing my head a little bit here.